Wes, can you just check whether are all members here and identify those who have not yet logged in so that you invite them to join us. We are going to start with our meeting right away. In the next 2 minutes, we will start with the meeting. Just make quick calls so that they log in. Just do that quickly so that we start to hear the music.
Chairperson?
Huh?
We have only one official apology from Honorable Sheikh.
Yes, I received that.
Yes.
I think we are going to start with the meeting. Good morning once more, members of parliament. You are all welcome to this important meeting. But I want to specifically take this opportunity to welcome the Honorable Minister, Minister Mamologo Kubai, who is part of this meeting, together with the DG, Mr. Tangani, and the rest of the officials from the Department of Human Settlements. As I said, you are all welcome, but let me just preface this meeting by saying that we are six in this meeting, members of parliament. We are supposed
recording in progress.
I don't know what is happening with other members of parliament. They have not registered their apologies to this important meeting. Only the apology from Honorable Sheikh. At some point, we need to discuss this in respect of our modus operandi and how do we ensure that we honor the invitations and we attend meetings of the committee. We are compelled to do so because if we are to play an effective oversight role as parliament, we need to be timers, we need to be aware, we need to be ready to engage with the issues that are before us. And I'm not really happy that we have to call members of parliament to join this meeting when we have issued invitations timelessly, when this is in line with our schedule that we have adopted for this term. Having said that, as I said, you are all welcome to this important meeting. This is a meeting that is convened by us specifically for one purpose, to engage with the Department of Human Settlements with regard to its annual performance plan, as well as the budget for 2022-2023 financial year. This must not be a routine. It must not be an issue that we do it because of the imperatives of Parliament. It is quite important to really scrutinize what the Department is doing. It is quite important to oversee its activities and at some point evaluate whether the objectives that the Department has set for itself on a particular financial year have been accomplished or not. That the Department is making an impact in terms of improving the human settlement situation in our country, especially in the light of one, the COVID-19 pandemic that has ravaged our country and actually the entire globe in the last 2 to 3 years. In our case, especially in relation to the disasters that are occurring, specifically here in the KZN province as well as the Eastern Cape and the Northwest province. We need to check all those things, whether the department is really impacting on what it is doing. And today we are going to receive that information from the department. The department will share with us its annual performance plan that is extrapolated from its midterm strategic framework, whether in this particular instance we are doing well, we're spending monies appropriately, we're doing what is expected of us, and our role as parliament is to oversee that work of the department. And welcome, Honorable Minister, to this meeting and officially to this department. It's for the first time we are engaging with you in respect of your annual performance plan and your budget. We're looking forward to have a fruitful and wonderful engagement going forward. We are going to continue as parliament play our role to oversee the activities of the department and to ensure that at the end of the day, the department does what is expected of it and it is accomplishing its own predetermined objectives. From our side, as usual, we engage, we criticize where it is necessary, we analyze the situation, we oversee the work, but at the same time, we support the department because what we do is to ensure that we succeed in housing our people. Housing constitutes an important daunting challenge that is facing our people. A lot of our people are still homeless. They live in informal settlements. They leave some of them in places which are not good for human habitation, and the department must impact on that and help our country to resolve its housing problems. As I said, you are heartily welcome. I will hand over to you to make a statement if you want to, but to also guide us in terms of how the presentation of today is going to unfold. At the end of the presentation, we will then engage with it once you have done in that respect. As I said, heartily welcome, and over to you, Honorable Minister. Bye.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to you. Good morning to Honorable members of the Budget Committee. Good morning to the DGs, the DDGs, and the entire team that is very good. Indeed, I appreciate the words of welcome, and indeed, we're looking forward to working with Honorable members as they play their oversight role, understanding its critical importance on holding us accountable on behalf of the country and its citizens. Chairperson, just to highlight that we are presenting today as the Department of Human Settlements our annual performance plan. We have gone through the process of looking at what is it that we need to do in the current financial year that we are in. And major issues that we are talking about is to focus on the improved service delivery, that how do we ensure that we continue to improve on the services that we provide to the citizens of this country, the work around coordination of government, especially across the three spheres of government, which is national, province, and local, how to ensure that we emphasize that importance of working together, but also increasing of accountability as we do our work. And part of what you have observed, just honorable members, we've been doing visits to provinces where we look at performance, we ask for the implementation of the business plan and the previous work since I've been here as minister, but also part of what we want to do as well is to do the same with the metros as we allocate the budget as well to the allocate the grants to the metros. On monitoring and evaluation, Chair, there are quite a lot of things that we are starting to pick up on that we are now increasingly bringing to the sharp focus. As we do our work, for example, you know that how the grants are structured as well, it's what you get feedback from, especially when you deal with metros and the MMCs for human settlements. The current USDG grant framework, how it's structured, seem to have some bit of a challenge where, as it's broken down, yes, in ensuring that we have human settlements in terms of other social amenities provided for. The growing trend or growing message from the MMCs in this metro is that it doesn't make sense for us to go and build homes, for us to go and build playing grounds when you do not have, for example, ablution facilities. So it's some of the things that are coming to the fore to say, do we have to look at prioritization first to say, as budgets are done for these municipalities, are we able to refocus and have a sharp focus to say, maybe for this financial year, this is what will have to come and then later readjust in terms of USDG. So these are conversations that we have to have as we close back in terms of basic service needs in communities and allowing what we provide as grants to be able to respond to that. So it's something that we'll have to continue in this financial year, evaluating, looking at what we can do around that and improving performance in our ways. Chairperson, again, if you look at what we are presenting and what the Minister of Finance has presented, we know that there's been a proposal from our side that in the provinces where it's not, or in the municipalities where there are no metros, we have made a provision of increasing of the spending of bulk infrastructure from 2% to 5%, but there is an allowance to spend 30% if the province is able to give us and the National Treasury a plan that is detailed, that is clear, to be able to do bulk infrastructure. We believe this will assist provinces such as your Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest and Northern Cape, for example, in detail. If you look at Limpopo, majority of the people are able to build, but what they are lacking is bulk infrastructure within those communities. And we believe this response will be able to assist us in dealing with that. And we're hoping that the MECs are looking forward to that. The MECs are going to provide those plans as we submit, as we continue to implement this bill. Chairperson, we have tried to, as a portfolio and the sector, to have priorities. One of the areas that I need to flag, linking this even to the disaster, is the, in terms of the national priority, is the eradication of mud houses. If we look at the natural disasters that have happened, the floods, we're starting to learn that the mud houses are becoming a huge risk for our people. Now, take in the Eastern Cape. When the floods happened, the rain came, the mud houses started to crack. But what we are realizing is that as we do the high counts of the households that have completely had houses destroyed, we're finding that with the mud houses, you can count that you have 300 or 3,000. Then when it comes a month later, you are finding that other mud houses have fallen. Now, the conversation with the communities, for example, who were there last week, the conversation with the communities that when the rains happen, the houses crack, they don't fall immediately. Then when the sun comes a week or 2 weeks after, or even a month, then when that sun comes, the houses then start to fall apart. So it does show that there is a need for us to focus more in eradication of mud houses, because we have to deal away with them. They remain a risk to the people in our rural areas. The other area that we have paid attention to, we are flagging as one of the needs for us to eradicate as national priorities, and the team has been presenting this. I'm just flagging the ones that I think are critical for me to explain, because sometimes we think that there are no understanding, there are misunderstanding of what we want to do. The eradication of asbestos is very critical, because this over time pose a risk of health to the households. And that's why we have said to the provinces, we need to start identifying them. We need to start having a plan of eradicating them. And then the other area is around the blocked projects. These are projects from, let's say, from the time we started to build RGP houses or PNGs, but we found them unfinished. Others, they left at the slab level, will have honorable members, for example, in Northwest, say they left at foundation level, others left at wall, they have not been completed. You find this across the country. And this is one of the things that we've said in the coming years, we will face in a process of implementation of completion of this block project, so that we can be able to have honorable, we can have honorable members, communities being able to benefit out of this unfinished project. We have almost the last count, which continues to be done, was around 1.9 million of houses that, or units that are in complete. So if we are to unblock that, it's 1.9 million opportunities of houses for communities. Now, the other area is around digitization. We have learned that the issue of beneficiaries continues to be a source of mistrust between us and our citizens as governments, because people believe that the manipulation of this list, there's a reprioritization, people being left behind, there's no explanation in why some people have not received their houses since they registered 1996. So that's part of why we want to ensure that there's a digital register that is transparent, that ensures accountability, that will not allow anyone to manipulate it, but people can monitor for themselves where they are in terms of the list. So as I say this, Chair, as we look back in terms of the disaster that has happened recently, they say to us there is a need for us to redo or to focus on planning. How we plan, and that's why we would continue to urge members, as you do in your constituencies, in your own political party, let's start discouraging illegal occupation of land. It will assist in terms of ensuring that we safeguard the lives of South Africans, because most of these illegal occupations of land are happening in areas which are not suitable for human settlement. People are sitting in wetlands, people are sitting on river banks, and when these disasters, when the rains, when the floods happen, we are losing lands. And that's why one of the things that we must start being very, very clear about, non-compromising across political parties and discourage illegal occupation of land. And I hope we'll have support across political parties of this, learning from the disasters that have happened recently and how people's lives have been compromised. Another issue, Chair, that I would want to update members of this led committee as I conclude, is the issue of stabilization, or what we can say, reworking of the efficient working of the state-owned entities. What we have done, you would have noted with honorable members, that we now have new boards across our portfolio. None of our boards have an interim or a board that has expired. We have given them new fresh mandates. We have ensured that we have the required skills, technical skills, that would be able to ensure that as the accounting officers of these entities are able to exercise and actually do their fiduciary duties. We have said to them, we will hold them accountable as individuals and as a collective. We expect nothing less from them than good corporate governance that is within this entity. We have also emphasized to them the importance of appointing executives permanently into this position so that we don't continue to have acting people. I can confirm that HGA has already given us, and we are in the process of consulting cabinet for the appointment of the CEO and CFO. We're looking forward to other entities which we have not received. I actually will be writing to the board chairperson to remind them of my request, because I've given them until the end of month, end of February. Some of them have not given me they've actually out of their roadmap have not been able to perform. So we'll be writing to them to remind them of my request of prioritizing the appointment of executives. We just recently appointed to the board of NHFC and have gone to their AGM. They will be the last one that we expect in terms of processing for the executive. So one of the things is to ensure that we reprioritize the work of the entities, but we ensure that performance is not compromised and accountability happens. So with that, Chair, I would like to hand over to the Director General, DG Mbulelo Sibanye, to take over the portfolio, the select committee,
in the intention, I'll come back as we respond to the questions by members of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister, Chairperson of the Select Committee, members of the committee. Minister has given an overview on the priorities of the APP. We're not going to repeat that. Perhaps before we get to ask Mr. Tundu to take us through the presentation, I am going to maybe just give you a little summary on the structure of the presentation of the APP itself. The APP is structured into three parts. The first part is the mandate of the organization, the policies of the organization. It also reflects on the relevant court rulings that have affected the sector. The second part of the APP is part B, which focuses on our environment, both the external and internal environment, what in strategic terms would refer to as PASTEL. So it looks at the economic outlook, it looks at the social environment, it looks at both internal and external environment. And then part C of the APP is what we refer to as the core programs of the APP. it looks at the program one, which is administration, and the contributing branches into that program. The main contributing branches is the in the organizational structure, is the CFO branch and the corporate services branch. Program one focuses more on the institutional issues, governance issues, financial management issues, human resource issues. That's what program one does. And you will, Polar will take us through the outputs of program one, the targets in program one. But C also covers program two, which is policy, planning, and development. As you know, in human settlements, we sometimes use the word policy and program interchangeably. When we talk about informal settlements of 18, we can use the word program, or sometimes we use the word policy. So that's what program C does. It covers program one, it covers program two, it also covers program three, which is informal settlements upgrading, which is a specific program. In the past, Chairperson, you will recall that we used to treat informal settlements upgrading as part of the human settlements development program. We used to finance it from the human settlements development grant. Now we have a specific grant that finances informal settlements upgrading. And the reason being, informal settlements is a symptom of a bigger problem, which is urbanization. So we need a sharper focus in dealing with informal settlements upgrading. Part C also covers program four, which is rental and social housing. We always refer to it as affordable rental and affordable social housing. As you know, we do have a specific grant that funds rental and social housing. There is also program five, which is affordable housing. And here we talk about gap housing. We talk about FLISP, the Finance Linked Individual Subsidy Program, which is likely to be called Help Me Buy a House Subsidy Program. We then move to Part D. Part D gives you the technical indicator description. As we were asked by the Auditor General to customize our targets and standardize them so that there is a sync or there is an alignment between what we do at national level and what the provinces do and what municipalities do. So we then took a deep dive into sharpening our technical indicators, what we refer to as TIDs. You will see the TIDs in Part D of Program 1, Program 2, Program 3, Program 4, and Program 5, because that's where we conduct with, in the APP, we conduct in the programs. And then the last part in the APP chapter is the annexures to the annual performance plan. The first annexure is amendments to the revised strategic plan 2020-2025, that is our MTSF. We have revised our MTSF targets. Annexure B is the conditional grant, all the conditional grants, excluding USDG, because USDG is not a conditional grant. It is a supplemental grant. Annexure C is a consolidated. That's where we give you the overall targets. You will see them in pages 130 up to pages 131. All the consolidated indicators in the APP. If you want to get a sense of what we are conducting for, you will see that in Annexure C. Then Annexure D is the district development model, which is what in progress, what the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation in the presidency wanted us to do as national departments. They wanted to look at our investments, our public investments in the districts, what we are planning over the next 3 years, next 3 to 5 years in the district. So the other one is work in progress. It's not something that has been perfected. We do have the information in our HSS, which demonstrates how much footprint do we have at the district level in all the 44 districts. We can tell you what we have invested and what we are planning to invest. Chatterson, without wasting much of your time, I'm going to ask Ron to take us through the presentation. Then I'll come back at the end to respond to the questions guided by the minister. Thank you very much, Chair. Ron?
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Minister, Chairperson, honorable members. I'm going to take you through the EPP for the department.
Mr. Kundu, the slides are not moving. Just make sure that they are moving, please.
Okay, Chairperson.
Oh, my friend, yeah, that's what the slides one by one. It's quite important.
Okay, Chair. Chairperson, please forgive me for that. Let me redo it. Maybe, is it visible now?
Yes, it's okay now. It's okay. I'm happy.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Chair, we are presenting the 2022-2023 APP as indicated by the Minister to the Select Committee. And on the slide, on background, Chairperson, those are just the regulatory framework that we are operating in. And we go to the MTSF targets. In terms of the MTSF targets, those are the targets that the department is focusing on, which is partial transformation through multi-program integration in priority development areas, adequate housing and improved quality of living environment, and the security of tenure, Chairperson. DG spoke about the revision as one of the annexures of our targets as contained in the MTSF. That is just but the detail, Chairperson. When you're looking at partial transformation, Chair, the revised target there is 94 areas invested in. And you have the indicator there, which is the number of priority development areas invested in, and also touches on the question of land acquired between 2014 and 2019. And if you go to the look at the adequate housing and improve quality living environment, there we are targeting the number of BNG houses, which is 300,000, which would have to be delivered before the end of this MTSF. And then again, 20,000 households would have received financial assistance and purchase units through the Finance Linked Individual Subsidy Program. If you look at the number of sites, we are targeting all over the MPSF, Chair, 300,000 service sites. And in terms of rental units, that number has been revised to 18,000 housing units invested in PDAs, and we have targeted 5,000 community residential units. And also 1,500 informal settlements would have been upgraded to phase three. And the security of tenure, Chairperson, the revised five-year target there is 1.1 million title deeds should have been registered at the end of this current MTSF period. Chairperson, the Minister has touched a great deal on this, and these are the sector priorities as agreed on at MIDMEC last year. It looks at increasing the pace of provision on title deeds, and it also looks at unblocking of block projects, eliminating asbestos roofs, mud houses. Chairperson, I am not going to repeat what the Minister said there. The issues of digitization, Chairperson, Minister spoke on that. And again, on issues of increased response to emergency housing, Minister Du did touch on this following the disasters. And also on the question of the community residential units, Chairperson, we do have this target as part of the we do have this target, and on the 40% set aside, the Chairperson, to designated groups. This target is also on the EPP, and we are monitoring it in terms of all our programs, and also when it comes to our human settlements entities. There is also, you know, the producing reports on the number of jobs that we would have created as a department, as a contribution to job creation in the country, and also the issue of military veterans, which is being monitored under performance of our entities. Chairperson, DG did touch on the programs of the department, and in terms of executive support, our target is around 100% compliance with the prescripts. And then there you have under your internal audit and risk, you do have the 100% apologies for that, Chairperson. You do have the 100% implementation of the approved risk management plan. And then again, under internal audit, we target to implement 100% of our approved internal audit plan. And so for our anti-fraud and corruption implementation plan, Chair. HR is the same, where we are targeting 100% implementation. So is ICT and our communication plan. When we go to, again, financial management, there we are targeting Chairperson and unqualified audit opinion with no material findings. And you have all those annual targets around the grants framework, which needs to be approved. And again, doing quarterly assessments of our human settlements grants, which is the Human Settlements Development Grant and the USDG, which goes to metros. And then again, we targeting quarterly financial performance analysis on our informal settlements upgrading grants. Chair, if you go to macro sector planning, we are targeting the analysis reports that will be completed per year on PDAs, which is priority development areas. Again, those reports will be targeting again on the questions of land which would have been acquired and rezoned. We also looking at the National Human Settlements Development Plan, which would have to be developed in the current financial year. When it comes to research, we have three research targets, annual targets, which would have been completed there, looking at exploration of indigenous knowledge systems and alternative technology in the provision of EPHP. And then the economic impact of housing program, and also another research on the extent of housing support provided to beneficiaries of our housing programs. Chair, we go again to the policies which would have been developed, targeted for the next, for the current financial year, which is 22-23, is 9 of them, Chair. And I'm not going to go into detail on each, but they are listed there. And if you go to the next slide, Chair, in terms of the entities' performance, we are looking at the reports which we will do to monitor. And we do this, Chair, on a quarterly basis, wherein we identify whatever gaps that are there, and these get to be fixed. And we also monitor how entities report on the suggestions that we do provide at the department in terms of strengthening their performances. So these are not just reports, they are reports that are targeted to help entities monitor and also to improve their performance. And the same goes for the 40% set aside. We are providing four monitoring reports on the set aside for designated groups there, which is your 40% target. Chair, if you look at, again, our sub-program on monitoring and evaluation, we are targeting the reports there, which looks at business plans, reports which looked at blocked projects, and reports that monitors the MTSF sector indicators. If you look at the evaluation study report on OPSCAP and one design and implementation for USPG evaluation study would have to be completed by the end of this financial year. And we're looking at IGR and strategic partnerships. We'll provide reports there on our intergovernmental relations programs, which would be implemented, which would have been implemented, Chairperson. Chair, again, on upgrading of informal settlements program, we're providing support to 9 provinces and 8 metros, and that support is going to be monitored and looked at through the reports that would do, which spells out exactly how that support was provided to these provinces and metros. And in terms of how we measure that, it's on our technical indicator descriptions, which the PG Elias spoke on. On the National Rental Housing Plan, we would have this plan developed by the end of this financial year. And again, when you look at Program 5, which is Affordable Housing Program for Mining Communities, which would have been implemented in 6 provinces, this chair would be our annual target. It talks to the 6 agreements for mining communities which would have been developed. We do have a list of those mining communities, and we do spell it out clearly on our TIDs which ones they are. And again, on title deeds, chair, we do look at those reports, quarterly reports, capturing the number of title deeds registered. And again, on the National Unblocking Program Plan, would have developed this, and then again, looking at those job opportunities which would have been created through human settlements programs, we will provide those reports, quarterly reports. Chair, DG did touch on this, on infrastructure projects and DDM. And as he said, this is an annexure on the APP, and again on the consolidated sector indicators, Chairperson, which we have for the first time since the department, we now standardize as a sector. We sat down with provinces, metros, and entities. We agreed on what it is that needs to be delivered, and broke it down in terms of each province. And that work has culminated in the business plans which the sector did have a mimic on, and they were sent back for refinement, because these targets that we spoke about earlier, sector targets, which is mid-met targets, some of them were not reflecting on this, and they were sent back. So there's been another resubmission, Chairperson, to make sure that we are all in sync, and we speak from the same page as a sector when it comes to what is on our business plans and also on our APPs. Chairperson, with your permission, may I request the Chief Acting Chief Financial Officer to take us through the budget.
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Honorable Members, Colleagues, good morning. My name is Lucy Selembile. I'll be taking the committee through the 2022 MTEP allocation. So the next slide that is on the screen is telling us how much as a sector we are having to enable us to meet our targets as presented earlier on. So for the next 3 years, we are having an amount of 103 billion to enable the human settlement sector to meet the target as presented. Under administration, for the next 3 years, we are having 1.5 billion. And on the integrated human settlement planning and development, this is the program whereby the human settlement development grant and the urban settlement development grant is sitting, as you can see, with the total allocation for the 3 years of 68 billion. And the informal settlements and emergencies are sitting under program three, whereby they are in 28 billion for the 2022 MTEP. Rental and social housing, that's where SHRAS, CCG, the consolidated capital grant is sitting. For the 3 years, we are having 3 billion, and affordable housing, whereby we will find the allocation for NHFC place, it's sitting, we are having a total of 1.8 billion. So for the next 3 years, we are sitting with 102 billion to enable us to meet the targets and the priorities as highlighted earlier on. The next slide is just giving a breakdown of the amounts per the financial year. So for the 2022-2023 financial year, throughout the 3 years, we are having a total of 103, but we are giving a breakdown. You can see, Honorable Chairperson, that for our employee costs and goods and services and payment of capital assets is 952 for year one. So this is equivalent to 0.3% of the total allocation. It shows that the majority of the allocation on the 103 billion is sitting on our transfers and grants. So for the grants that we are transferring to provinces for the next 3 years, it's equivalent to 58 billion. We've got the human settlement development grant that is transferred monthly to provinces. The informal settlement acquisition partnership grant is also transferred to provinces. And for emergencies, the provincial emergency housing grant. And for the grants that are transferred to metros or the municipalities, we're having the urban settlement development grant for year one is 7 billion, year two is 7.6, and year three is 8 billion. And for the informal settlement upgrading partnership grant as well, is transferred to metros. And the last grant that we transfer to municipalities is in cases that there is a disaster, is the municipal emergency housing grant. And for the next 3 years, we have 549 million. And for our entities, we are having a total of 1.6 billion for year one, and cumulatively for 3 years is 5 billion. For social, housing regulatory authority, the operational grant, we are also giving the institutional investment to SHRA, and as well the consolidated capital grant that is assisting with the social housing. And as well for the CISO's community schemes ombudsman, there is the 3 year allocation of 5 million. And then for NHSC to assist the to assist us with the finance linked individual subsidy program, there is a grant and also the support and also the transfer to housing development agency. Chairperson and members, the next slide is giving a breakdown on the 4 big grants that the department is administering. The first slide is talking to the human settlement development grant. This is the allocation per province for the next 3 years. So for year one, we can see that all the provinces, as per the allocation formula that we are using, we are allocating, per the allocation formula is 14.2 billion. And then for the next year it's 14.5 billion, and for the outer year it's 15.1 billion. So the allocation is spread evenly as per the allocation formula for all the provinces. And then the next slide is the informal settlement of this grant. Also, this province is giving a breakdown of the allocation per province evenly. For year one, we have 4.1 billion, for year two is 4.3, and then 4.5 billion on the outer year. Then the next slide, slide 26, is giving the breakdown of the urban settlement development grant, which is the second biggest grant for the national department. These are the allocations per metro, the breakdown for the next 3 years. And then the next allocation, the next slide as well, is giving the informal settlement upgrading partnership grant, is the allocation for the next 3 years. and it is giving a breakdown on per allocation per year and also the outer year. So Chairperson, this is the amount of money that we are having as the human settlement sector to enable us to meet the priorities and the targets that we have set for the next 3 years. Thank you so much. I'll hand over to the DG.
Thank you very much. Team CFO, Chairperson, we presented this to the committee for approval. This is 2022-2023 APP of the National Department of Human Settlements. At this stage, I'll hand over back to the Minister. Thank you, Chair. Minister? Minister, back to you. Honourable Minister?
Chairperson, it looks like we've lost network with the Minister. Maybe we should head back to you.
Yes, okay.
Once Minister has joined.
Thank you very much for the presentation. It is quite clear what the intentions and the purpose of this APP and budget is. And we are looking forward to engage with you. I think the picture is quite clear, and we need to engage with the presentation. Can I then take this opportunity to invite honorable members, those who want to ask questions and to make some comment in relation to the presentation? Over to you, honorable members. Members, are you satisfied with the presentation?
I'm covered, Chair.
Yes, I don't want to engage with the presentation. I note the hand of Honorable Isaac Sileku. Yes, you can start, Honorable Sileku.
Thank you very much, Chair, and to the Minister and to the officials and everybody on the platform. Firstly, Chair, let me appreciate the work that has gone through the presentation. And mine is just a few questions of clarity, Chair. Firstly, in terms of the allocation of grants to provinces, I would just like need to get more information in terms of what is it that the department, when they allocate in terms of the HSDG and the UISP, to the different provinces. Why, what criteria does the department use to decide which province is going to get a certain amount in terms of the grants? And secondly, Chair, I see in some of the programs you'll find that there are new targets that the department has undertaken. And one would make an example like the Intergovernmental Relations Program. You know, it's a new target. One would want to know more about some of the new targets that the department has actually undertaken in this particular financial year. And also, looking at the unblocking of projects, there is a little bit worrisome because some of the projects that are going to be unblocked or that is currently blocked, you'll find that there has been illegal land invasions. As a result, this project are actually blocked. And I would want the department just to give us a practical example of just to give us more information in terms of these projects that they are in the envisage to unblock. How are they going to actually make it happen? You know, looking also at the fact that some of these projects are or it's caused by a illegal invasion. And Chair, one thing that is also worrisome, you'll find that the use of consultants by the department still continues to increase annually. And I would like just to know what are the reasons for that, that each and every, you know, financial year we find that the use of consultants by the departments keep on increasing, or whether the department is actually looking at a plan of trying to use less consultants. And one big issue, Chair, also that one would want to know what plans the department has in place, you know, working with provinces and local municipalities, is especially in dealing with the illegal occupation of BNGs. That is a worrisome thing that is currently happening in our municipalities, and we seem not to be able to have a plan and how we can actually deal with this issue, you know, and once and for all. And the backlog, Chair, in terms of the title deeds, every year, I think there was a target set in terms of the title deeds that were post 94, that we are supposed to deal with all those title deeds by the financial year of 2020-21. One would want to know that, are we making progress in that regard? Or if not, what plans is the department going to put in place to make sure that, you know, we deal with this backlog of title deeds so that people get, you know, the right to tenure, and then they get this the title deeds, which is worrisome because we seem not to be making progress to the level that is acceptable to everyone, that also so big star as Chair. And also let's go to the issue of LESP and social housing. I'm coming from a rural municipality, Chair, and I always want to fight for rural municipalities. It's good and well that one would find that all these beautiful flesh projects and social housing are happening in mostly metros, but one would want to see them happening in rural municipalities so that we can actually, you know, create an environment so where the businesses can come in and invest, so that we can create work for people in our rural municipalities. One would want to know from the department, what plans are in place to make sure that whatever is currently happening in our metros actually also benefits us, you know, coming from rural municipalities. And in terms of the mud houses and the mining towns, one would want to know more in terms of how many mud houses is the department looking at and in which provinces. And I did not hear anything about, I've raised this question during our oral question to the minister, that I'm worried there is an issue currently that some of the houses that were built with toilets outside, and I would like to know what plans are there to make sure that those houses that were built with toilets, you know, outside and is currently occupied by the elderly, you know, what assistance is there, and how does one, you know, assist such, you know, communities, especially the elderly, so that they are safer at the end of the day. And one, in terms of the digitalization of the housing database, Chair, one would want to know more about the time frames. You know, when will this particular project, you know, kick off, and what role will the different municipalities and the province play in making sure that whatever this digitalization hopes to achieve is actually achieved. And yeah, Chair, I think I said a mouthful, and I hope I was clear enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sinepu. Any other contribution? In the absence of that, let me make some contributions and ask questions. Firstly, as I indicated, this is a very, very comprehensive presentation which reflects on both the budget of the department as well as its own APPs. Now, what could have been very, very much useful was the fact that we need to take stock of what happened last year, so that the department must tell us, in relation to the budget of what last year, what achievements have we registered, and how the department would have addressed the concerns which members of the committee raised last year, so that we get a sense whether, in real practical terms, improvements are happening or not. Firstly, let me make an example. One of the key issues that the department was intending to deal with last year was to ensure that it implements its internal audit plan, was to implement its anti-fraud and corruption plan, and also to implement its risk management plan. To what extent has the department implemented that? And if there are constraints, what are those constraints that inhibited the department from implementing that? Are we successful, for example, in dealing with corruption, whether it happens right there in the department itself or in our provinces where the delivery of housing is taking place, and what proactive measures does the department take in relation to fight fraud and corruption? It could have been very useful to get an update as well from the department to say, yes, we have put up the systems in place, yes, we have put up the structures in place, and all of this are working, and where we detect these things, we attend them to them quite urgently. Two, the department intended to oversee the integrated residential development program, as well as the coordination of intergovernmental partnership with other stakeholders. Is it working? Are we achieving the necessary results? Because it should not be the issue of housing, of building houses, but it must be an issue of building real human settlements. Because if you do that, you build communities. When we build these houses, our coordinated effort with other stakeholders, is it boiling and yielding fruits or not? Do we have infrastructure development taking place in those communities where we're building houses? Are there schools, are there clinics, are there social amenities that come with houses or not? And if there are constraints in relation to intergovernmental partnerships that we want to develop, which are they? And what are the intentions of the department during this coming year to ensure that we foster that, because building that partnership in an intergovernmental way is very, very much important for this department. There was an issue that was raised last year, and that pertains to the informal settlements upgrading, because our view was that we need to ensure that the 300 settlements that the department was intending to build each year were going to be realized as such, and those must have access to the necessary municipal services. We raised an issue last year in relation to the boss. I heard the minister raising it again to say there was a bit of instability in almost the boards of the that account to the department, your ADA, your SHRA, and all of that. Have you managed to resolve all the leadership problems which were there? And why is the process slow? I heard the minister say we wrote them letters in February. Why are we not expediting the process and complete it? And what is it that we do in case that these boards which account to the ministry do not do what is expected of them in relation to ensure that they fast-track the processes of appointing the new boards? Because having stable boards, functional boards, which comply with the cooperative governance principles, it is quite important for this department not only to achieve its predetermined objectives, but also to ensure that we have clean, proper, effective institutions that must assist in relation to housing delivery. There was a matter that was raised about the title deeds in the Buffalo City Metropolitan Municipality. I'm not sure to what an extent that we expedite the issuing of title deeds to communities, and in relation to this specific problem that I'm raising, were we able to attend to it? Is it resolved or not? Those are some of the issues that we want to bring forward to the attention of the ministry. But the last one, maybe the minister can also share with us what are our plans in relation to ensuring that we support all of those communities where there were disasters, especially in the Northwest, in KwaZulu-Natal, and the Eastern Cape. There is a strong view that is there within the country that where resources are allocated for this purpose, we have seen what happened with regard to the resources allocated for the COVID-19 pandemic, that where these resources are allocated, there are sharks waiting there, and they denigrate the image of the government. What preventative measures have the department put in place to ensure that all the allocations made for emergency housing, for relocation, for supporting the displaced communities are utilized quite strictly for the intended purposes, and there would be, at the end of the day, some financial accountability, a clear-cut financial accountability on how those particular funds were utilized. I'll pause there and check whether maybe is there anyone who wants to also ask questions. If not, can we respond to the questions and the issues that are raised? Over to you, DG. I don't see the minister back yet. We will afford her the opportunity once...
I'm back, but I'll allow the DG and team to respond first, and then I'll come at the end.
Okay, wonderful, minister. Okay, well, good. Can you respond, DG and the team first?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think all the questions were extremely useful and relevant, and we will deal with all of them. If you missed out any of the questions, please feel free to remind us, and we've taken notes. What I'm going to do, I'm going to start with my colleagues and ask them to respond to the question. Maybe I should start with DDG Ngongo and ask her to respond to the two questions about the IGR and the filling of the posts in our entities. DDG Ngongo, can you come?
Thank you, DG, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister. In terms of the filling of the positions in our entities, I'm not going to repeat what the Minister has alluded to in terms of the appointment of the new board and what we are also following up on is the filling of the executives and the management position so that our governance will be complete, and then the entities, they will be able to carry their mandate. Minister has already been touched on the deadline of February, and we will be sending the reminder letters to make sure that our entities, they are all capacitated. In terms of the role of the IGR, this also links to the DDM approach that we are embarking on as a sector, as it has become very much apparent that at national, the role the work of human settlements cannot be undertaken by the National Department alone. It requires all spheres of government. And in relation to that, Minister has been crisscrossing the country with the emphasis of the service delivery, the improvement thereof, and the role of all spheres of government to be involved in the work of human settlements. So this is DDM in action that the department is embarking on. It's still on the early stage, but I can say that the impact is already being felt because all the matters that arise through those ministerial visits, we are seeing an improvement in the work and the collaboration of the sector at large. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. The second question was about the HSDG and ISUPG allocation. What criteria do we use for this allocation? Can I ask the CFO to answer that question?
Okay. Thank you, DG. The allocation formula that we are using, it was adopted on the MINMEC of 2013, and the data that we are using is census 2011, and we know that now currently we are waiting for the final census 2022, then we'll be able to use that information. But however, for the 3 years that we are sitting with is the census 2011. As soon as the 2022 data is out, we are going to rerun the formula and see how the numbers are going to go about. Our allocation formula is looking at three things. One, we are looking at the inadequate housing, which is 70% of the 100% of the allocation. And we look at the population size. The population size is 10%, and we look at the extent of poverty is 20%. So this is formula driven. The formula is 100%. And then what is inadequate housing? When we look at inadequate housing, we look at traditional dwellings. We look at the shack elsewhere. We looked at the shacks in the backyard. So our allocation formula basically is looking at the inadequate housing. So we have taken the data from the 2011 census, then we used the allocation formula so that it can be aligned across the provinces. When we look at housing, according to the census 2011, the share of the inadequate housing is sitting at housing. Hence the allocation formula of housing is a lot. Out of the 14 billion, housing is getting 3 billion. But when you look at the allocation of Northern Cape, because of the share of the inadequate housing and the poverty and the share of the population, because according to the census 2011, it showed that people are moving out of Northern Cape. People are moving out of Eastern Cape, and then people are going to the Western Cape. And also when you look at around this other side of the country, people are moving from Limpopo to Gauteng looking at the better opportunities. So the information that we are using and for the 3 years that we have presented is looking at that data. However, as soon as SSA has released the census information, the numbers that we are presenting are going to change because we need to align with the current census. So DG and honorable members, that is the breakdown of the allocation formula that we are using to allocate both our grants. Looking at 70% is the share of inadequate housing, 20% is the extent of poverty, and then 10% is looking at the population side. So that will be all from my side. Thank you so much.
Can you take two more questions? One on the performance of the budget. I know that you still have preliminary figures. You don't have all the debt figures. How did the budget perform in the last financial year? And the second question is on the utilization of consultants. Can you take those two questions?
Thank you, DJ. Honorable members, we haven't closed our book yet. We are still on the final leg of closing the books. However, our budget is sitting at 98%, and then our operational budget is sitting at, I think it's 74%. I'm opening just to verify the numbers. When you look at the use of consultant honorable members for this financial year, we have dropped drastically. So from our side, where we are sitting as the department, we have reduced. When you look, when we come back to present the annual or the fourth quarter information, you see that the use of consultant is the one that we are sitting with the saving on our operational budget, because our operational budget is sitting at 74%. And I think the biggest saving that as a department we have incurred, because Treasury is not saying that we need to say that we've underspent on our operational budget, because we know that after COVID, we had to change the way that we do business. So Treasury is sitting and waiting to see some savings. They don't call it as an under expenditure, however, they refer to as savings. You see that we have saved on our travel and assistance and also in the use of consultants. So when we come and present the first quarter information, we will see that from the National Department of Human Settlement, there is a saving. So the use of consultants has dropped basically. However, when you look at our transfers on the whole book budget, they are sitting at 98%. The biggest drop there, what made us sit on the at 98%, is because of the two grants, the provincial emergency housing grant and the municipal emergency housing grant. Those are the two grants that we did not transfer. The reason being, these grants are shaping second grants. We are not transferring them like the way we do our HSDG and the USDG. These are the grants that we release them. They are sitting as unallocated on our board. When there's a housing emergency or there is a disaster, the province should apply, and then we request the National Treasury that we transfer the money. So the 2% that was not spent on our transfers and subsidies is basically these two grants, because by end of the financial year, we know that the disasters in Eastern Cape, they happen at early April, and the disasters in KZN, they happen in early April. So for this financial year, we have already received applications on the very same grant. However, for the last financial year, we are sitting with an under expenditure because we didn't transfer all of those grants. We didn't have so much disasters as this financial year. So we are sitting at 98%, and our operational grant is sitting at 74%. However, when we come back to present our first quarter information, the committee will be able to see the savings on the consultants, because for these 2 years, in fact, we have not used a lot of all the allocation when it comes to consultants. So we have saved a lot of money regarding that. So, Honorable Chairperson, members, that will be my comments regarding the three questions that have been asked. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Team CFO. I know that Minister is going to come back to the question on the stability of the board and the filling of the positions if it has not been answered adequately. At this stage, I'm going to ask DDG Cheney to take us through the title deeds question. I think there were two questions that were asked about the title deeds. In the absence of DDG Buthelezi, I'm going to ask DDG Cheney to answer that question on the title deeds, and also the question on IRGP and the building of amenities like schools and clinics. Then we can take those questions and any other question that you want to respond to.
Morning, Chair. Morning, members of the committee. Minister, DG, colleagues. DG, thank you. I'll take the IRDP. I'll take the second part, or the part that the chairperson raised with specific reference to our policy in relation to integrated human settlements. Chair, you know that in terms of policy, we speak about an integrated housing and human settlements policy, and that includes all aspects related to the human settlements and residential delivery chain. So it speaks not only about our house, but it also speaks about the ability for us to be able to access recreation, socioeconomic facilities, and the entire sort of basket of services that requires an improved and better quality of life. In terms of our current framework within housing, we provide the ability for a household through the province or municipality to be able to access funding to provide internal services, that's for water, sanitation, a title deed, as well as a house. In terms of the framework, the funding framework, there are various other grants that are ideally supposed to be crowded in and aligned to be able to deliver, Chair, on what you've indicated, the socioeconomic facilities and infrastructure that's required. I think one of the weaknesses that we've identified, and you've probably identified it in your question, is the fact that at a provincial and a municipal level, the alignment of those grants to be able to deliver on a integrated human settlement escapes us. Although there are some instances, and there are various instances that we are and have achieved some success. But you'll also note, Chair, that Minister referred to the aspect with specific reference to bulk and link infrastructure, where in terms of the grant, in conjunction with Minister of Finance, Minister has the ability to be able to increase our grant contribution to socioeconomic bulk and link infrastructure to ensure that we achieve that objective. Now, the reason we've done that, Chair, is because housing in many respects, housing and human settlements is a leading activity, which results in sometimes us moving quite far ahead of other sort of sectors, particularly bulk, water, and link. The issue is that having considered all of this, together with MINMEC, ministers of the view, and which we as a department have put forward, is that it remains our responsibility as a collective or part of the collective as government to make sure that when we deliver that service, we do it in an integrated manner. So that's one of the measures that has been put in place, Chair, to respond to this criticism that we have where we build a house, there's no water, there's no sanitation, sometimes there's no roads. What we are hoping is through provinces and municipalities, we'll be able to arrest some of that issue. The other aspects related to that is what we are trying to do through the USDG, that's the Urban Settlement Development Grant, as well as the Informal Settlements Grant, to be able to resolve the other portion of that aspect. In relation to the matter of the title deeds, and Chair, I think we need to indicate that it's been particularly something that has escaped us to be able to adequately address this matter. But what has happened is that through interactions between the minister, the DG, we've put together what we think is a comprehensive plan to be rolled out in conjunction with municipalities, provinces, as well as other sector departments to be able to realize this aspect of ensuring that we deliver on a title deed. Included in that would be mandatory directive that says, where a household receives a house, they will not be able to do so. A province should not be able to provide that house unless, of course, that key to that house goes with the title deed. Because that has been traditionally the aspect of that. The backlog in relation to that is some of the issues that we are trying to, we have put in place certain policies and certain implementation mechanisms. Unfortunately, some of those will take a little more time because in many instances, part of what that delay is, which is now moved from not only township establishment or lack of township establishment, but in many respects within families, within the title or the transfer of title, we find a situation that there's disputes. In many respects, there's deceased estates that have to be dealt with, and in relation to that, we are able to deal with that through our own systems in conjunction with others. Chair, I think what I could perhaps maybe and obviously Minister and DG will come up, is that it would be a remiss to be able to try and address that through a response in the way that I'm trying to do. But I would suggest that we can come back to the committee and indicate what is the plan, what is the time frame attached to that, and what are the actions and deliverables so that we can finally put this matter to rest. Thanks, TG. Thanks, Mr.
Thank you very much. ETG chain. There was a question on the informal settlements upgrading. Can I ask ETG Sokopo to respond to that question? The question was, how did it perform? How is informal settlements upgrading program performing? Okay, we'll come back to it because I don't see that ETG support is here. We'll respond to that question. The other question was about the unblocking of the block projects. How are we going to do it? What are the timelines? Can I ask ETG Buterezi to respond to it? Okay.
You want me to address the block projects?
Please answer that question on the block project. There were three parts to that question. The first one is the illegal occupation part. How are you going to do it? The second part is the breakdown by province. Linked to this is the question about smart houses, that we can respond to it as well. Can you take the block project service?
Thanks, DG. Thanks, Chair, members. Chair, what happened is that during the course of the previous financial year, one of the big obstacles that was identified, and it's been a political priority, a ministerial priority that's been identified, has been the issue around the question of block projects. And it's also as a result of the fact that through the NCOP, through the MPLs, through members of parliament, the matter of block projects and its impact on households has come forward, and ministers taken a decision that we must then, within the next 3 years, ensure that we eradicate all of those block projects that we've identified. We have undertaken a process, and there's been an analysis done of that. The figures can be provided, so I don't misrepresent the numbers in detail. And as part of the first year for this financial year, Chair, part of our business plan, the business plan that we've developed, for example, on the Human Settlements Development Grant, is a specific set of projects which the provinces have put forward for this financial year, which were considered to be blocked, which at the end of this financial year will then be unblocked. That figure is, I think it's about approximately 336. I stand corrected on that figure. So, and then for the next financial year, there's another set, and then for the next following. So there's a concrete plan based on an analysis that's been undertaken to eradicate and to resolve the block projects. It covers various aspects in relation to that. In certain instances, those projects are blocked either because of township establishment, bulk infrastructure that's not available, illegal occupation of houses, but that forms part of the plan. So over the next three financial years, there will be a progressive pushback in relation to us resolving the matter of block projects. In relation to the mud houses, the provinces have undertaken a specific assessment. Some of them are in the provisional, have undertaken provisional assessments of the mud houses. But I can give an example of KZN, which has a comprehensive assessment done already. And as part of their plan, they then address the matter and the replacement of the mud houses to ensure that households are then allowed to occupy proper and adequate housing. So that forms part of the matter with specific reference to rural housing. I must also indicate, Chair, that in all of the instances, as directed, these projects or these programs, the block projects together with the mud houses, are all funded, and there's specific targets and there's specific outputs which are available and can be made available. Thanks, DG.
Thank you very much, DG. We can state categorically that one of the reasons why we took some time to approve the business plans because we wanted provinces to contract to this target about the unblocking of the block projects. And they have submitted revised business plans which talk to this particular target. And Minister is applying herself to those business plans and they're likely to be approved. So the second area of where we wanted the provinces to contract to is this area of mud houses. Some provinces have done a lot of work. They have invested in planning for this particular target. And some provinces have not done much. If you take KZN, for instance, they will give you a clear breakdown of what they are going to do to eradicate those mud houses by district. But if you move to other provinces, you will find that they are still at a planning stage. They are still assessing those targets. And so we understand that the provinces are not at the same level of planning for achieving this particular target in the unblocking. And the other question, which I think Nabil has answered adequately, is the area of IRPP. I think that question was answered on the IRPP. On the filling of the position by entities, I think almost all the entities are at an advanced stage in terms of filling those positions. If you take HDA, they've concluded the processes, so it's out of the IM now, and those posts will be filled within a week or two. Once Minister has applied the money and submitted it to Cabinet. Remember, there's a requirement that we need to go to Cabinet when we appoint CEOs and CFOs of the entities. There was a question about the performance of the informal settlement upgrading program, especially the phase three target. We know that informal settlements upgrading is time-consuming, it's tedious, and there's a lot of lead time that we need in order to get to the security of Kenya and the provision of municipal engineering services. But we think that we are in a better place to meet the MPSS targets. We didn't do well in informal settlements upgrading last year, we achieved amber instead of green. You'll see it once we have audited the annual report figures. So we didn't achieve the target. We contracted to deliver, if my memory says no, about 130 informal settlements upgraded to level 3, which is security of Kenya and municipal engineering services. We didn't meet that target, but it's still work in progress. We're submitting the fourth quarter results to KPMEA and to the minister this week. But we will share it with you when we come back here. Just to go back to the block project, we're likely to come back to you and give you the figures by province, because you provide oversight to provinces, so it's important for you to know how provinces have conducted on the block projects. The same applies to asbestos. Most provinces have conducted to do assessment of the asbestos in this current financial year, and they're not contracting to deliver on it this year because they have the view that there's still a lot of work to be done to do the assessment. So there's been a lot of back and forth between us and provinces in terms of this target. The question about the illegal occupation of PNGs, we've been grappling with this for some time. One of the reasons why Minister is investing in the digitization program to fix what we used to call the waiting list or the housing demand developments is intended to make sure that people are allocated to their sites. They don't have to wait until the house is completed, so that they can also make sure that they protect their own houses. Part of the problem here is that in 2008, there's a decision that was taken by MINMET to delete the construction of housing from the allocation of beneficiaries. Now, you find that some provinces would go ahead and build a BLG unit without knowing who the beneficiary is going to be. And that makes it easy for invaders to get into those houses. But if you link the subsidy approval to the beneficiary and the housing construction to the beneficiary, it's going to be very difficult for people to invade houses, because you already know, right at the planning stage, you already know what the people are going to be allocated those houses. And that's one of the reasons why we want to fix the digitization, the waiting list through the digitization program. Chairperson, I don't know if we missed that. Any questions? If we have, you'll remind us. At this stage, I want to ask the minister to come in. Thank you very much. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, DG. Thank you, honorable members, for your comments, input. I think quite a sizable number of questions have been responded to. I've been following. Apologies earlier on, I got kicked out and I was able to come back. Just to indicate specifically on the disasters, we do understand that there's been concerns about, one, the first pace or the pace that we are moving in terms of relocation of people to either temporary areas and also being able to provide the service. With KwaZulu-Natal, just to indicate to honorable members, is that we've been able to do the work and they have been on the procurement process to try and get to the TRUs. We're trying to ensure that the processes are transparent. There isn't anything that is not transparent in the manner that we're doing the work, so that there is accountability. But also there was a challenge around land, especially in the Tribune area where you have to relocate people, because you couldn't build the temporary units back to where they are. Then that work would take some time, together with ensuring, because in terms of systems as well, ensuring that you've got the systems that would work in terms of refurbishment of those houses that are partially damaged. So work is done. We have noted this week, Premier Sikalanga gave end of May as an end of all of these processes. I've noted in the media domain that there's unhappiness to say it's taking long. We will relook into the processes and see, because we initially thought that KZN will finalize this earlier than end of May. So we'll just go and deal with it in terms of our room, the teams are sitting there. I know that members would have seen the headlines. I'm not so sure if they're quoting the premier correctly, because the end of May is not the deadline we have received from KwaZulu-Natal, but we'll deal with that. We do have concerns in the Eastern Cape in the slow pace of movement. Whether we have given some time frames to adjust in terms of ensuring that we respond. Members as well would have seen, because we're in the Eastern Cape, as ministers, Minister Naveni Abrams would have been in the Port St. John area, where people were saying they're still waiting for TRUs and all that. We have received a report that the procurement has been done by the province, and they should be able to start erecting some of the TRUs. We saw some. But the pace in the manner and the number of what has been, I must be honest, is what we also are not happy. The pace in which the province has been moving is not what we are comfortable about. In the Northwest area, we had about 200 houses that were affected. We have given the necessary authorization as national for the province to continue. And also there is an alternative land that is required to move the people from the houses, because where they are, it's no longer suitable even to put the temporary units. Working together with the province, we have given the necessary authorization through the technical teams to ensure that this work happens, and we'll continue to monitor. So there's monitoring weekly of this area's stress, so that we are able to ensure that the pace can be not dropped, but also where there are challenges, there are interventions. So we have also notified, we have had a meeting with the MEC in Eastern Cape, where we are saying we are working with the pace so that we can be able to. So we'll visit again this area from a ministerial point of view to also assess progress. I know that the minister in the presidency for monitoring as well will be in KZN with the monitoring and evaluation team to check whether what we are reporting and what progress we are giving is what is being done by government. The other area around protection of funds, Chair, is that from cabinet point of view, we have had the president announcing a joint monitoring team. This team involves Auditor General, Accountant General, and as well as National Treasurer and Presidency is chaired by the DG in the presidency. This team is responsible to monitor as we implement so that we don't go and find weaknesses or challenges at the end of the process. So as this procurement happens, as the sourcing of whatever material that is needed or services that are needed, to check if they are done within the right prices, they are done in terms of the process, so they will audit as they go. I know the team should be in KwaZulu-Natal this week, working with the Premier's office as well, to start the process. What is expected from us as human settlement is to avail the process, the procurement, everything that we are doing, for them to be able to evaluate, including because they would have in their team quantity surveyors to be able to determine whether the prices that we are spending are too much. Just to indicate, sometime in the public, I picked up that there's been confusion. People thinking that when we talk about vouchers, they think that we are giving individual households money. We are not giving money. There are vouchers, when we talk about vouchers, it's a non-transferable voucher issued for that particular household that has been identified to be a beneficiary, and it's meant for material. It can't be transferred for anything else. And this is important for us because it also gives the responsibility to South Africans, so that South Africans don't sit and wait for government to do everything. Those who are able to rebuild for themselves, we give them support so that they can be able to rebuild for themselves. So that's the support that we want to do, and including the issues. I think other issues have been responded. There are areas that will continue to work. I think Honorable Sileku earlier spoke about the houses where senior citizens are staying, and they are also having toilets outside. We do have to go back to what we would call the 1996 storm. Whether those houses, for example, you would have seen a video of the old type of houses, that's where you have one door and one window. We checked it because one of the parties was circulating it. We've done a verification, we found it to be in the Western Cape, but the MEC has indicated these are the old original stock at the beginning of the implementation of process, where we were not having a standard norm nonsense standards in terms of how we build the houses. So there is a need for us to go back into those areas. In KwaZulu-Natal as well, let me see if I highlighted that there are those old stuff where you find that it's just a hall inside, not divided, the toilets, it's exposed, so it doesn't give the dignity and privacy. So there is a need for us to go back and get that, but we still have to pay attention to this. And I think the more important thing will be paying attention to the most vulnerable, which is senior citizens. Others in terms of households, we will expect them to at least find mechanisms as they get employment to be able to upgrade and improve on their condition in terms of what has been provided by government. Because we've got to understand that government does have a limit. We don't have a fiscal that is not constrained. We have a fiscal that is constrained. And that's why more and more what we want to see is moving away from giving everybody a house, but to a satisfied that people can start building for themselves. And building the houses based on the constitutional imperative and obligation to the vulnerable, which is senior citizens, the disabled, and child-headed households. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister and the team, for your responses. I saw another hand earlier on here. Oh, it has disappeared. Thank you very much. Those are the responses from the minister and the team in relation to the questions and comments that were made by members of parliament. I don't see any other person who wants to make a contribution. And if that is the case, this brings us to the end of this meeting. We have understood what the intentions of the department are. We have seen what you want to do in relation to this financial year 2022-2023. As for the committee, this year we're planning to work very closely with the department. Our purpose is to visit some of these projects where you are working in different provinces. Our plan was to go to KZN a month ago. We changed that. We will be focusing in Mpumalanga and the Western Cape for the purpose of this year. We are planning to visit some of these projects where you are involved. But at the same time, as you present your reports, we are going to analyze and evaluate the successes that you have registered in terms of implementing both your plans as well as your budget. This is quite important because if we can work together, forge links, we will make a very, very huge, indelible contribution in terms of making sure that we housing our people. From where we are quite satisfied that we believe that if you as a department or our minister, you can implement what you put on the table, you can monitor your provinces because, as you say, the last chunk of your budget goes to provinces and entities. Just monitor them to make sure that they do their work quite effectively, that there are no after expenditures that are incurred, that the monies are utilized for the purposes intended. This will go a long way in terms of ensuring that we succeed in that respect. As I said, we have listened to your APP, which is in line with your VTEP strategic framework. We have heard your budget. The budget will never ever be sufficient, given the fact that the housing needs are quite huge. There are many, many people in their millions who still live under unacceptable conditions, and that must be ameliorated by the department. And we think, as part of our ongoing work, we think that we are going to continue to say we need more allocation for houses. A lot of people need subsidized houses. They cannot afford building their own houses. And therefore, in order to make a huge impact in that respect, we need more funds to flow in that sense. And with that, let me just conclude by saying thank you very much for attending this meeting, and thank you very much too for sharing with us your presentations, the work that you want to do in respect of your department, and equally thank the DG as well as the staff, different DDGs who also made some contributions in this meeting. We are quite satisfied, and we're looking forward, as I indicated, to work with the department quite closely to ensure that we succeed in that eventuality. With that, thank you very much for attending the meeting. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.